Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. It is always my joy to have you to participate by dialing 401-1413. You can jump into the dialogue and discussion at any point today during our Facing the Issues broadcast. You can do so by dialing that number, 401-1413. We're going to be talking about today, a question, by the way, is all Scripture valid today? Are all of the Scriptures valid? Is the Bible valid, cover to cover, Genesis 1-1 through Revelation 22? Or do we pick and choose parts and select parts that we just jettison off and say it's not relevant? Before we get into the monologue, the dialogue, and the discussion about that question and that issue today, let me remind us when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not just contain truth, it is truth. And when I say it's truth from Genesis 1-1 through Revelation 22. We don't have the authority. God's never given man the authority to pick and choose and decide what part is truth and what part is not. I've seen down through the years multiplied numbers of those that will say, well, here's an error here. God made an error there. And I usually like to say, if you would take a piece of paper and jot down every error that you found in the Bible, and let's talk about it. I've not seen anyone yet that was brazen enough to say that they are smarter than God, and they've discovered that God made an error. And so they refuse the offer to take the pen and paper and write down where they found that God made an error in the Scripture. That's the reason Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It is the totality of the word of God that is truth. But as I've said so many times before, truth is a word and an issue that's not sought for in society today. Most are not interested in truth. Most are not interested in biblical truth in particular. But we're going to talk about that today, but let me remind you, as we enter into this dialogue and discussion, let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's precisely 1 mile south of I-295, approximately 3.5 miles north of I-95, right in the heart of Mandarin. First Conservative Baptist Church sticks to verse by verse, word for word, exegetical expository preaching of the Word of God. We believe that God's Word is to be learned, and the only way we can inculcate the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives is to hear it. The Scripture says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, that's the little Greek word dia, through, it's the access, the avenue of the Word of God. And so we believe in preaching and teaching the Word of God expositorily, verse by verse. First Conservative Baptist Church also believes that we still have the responsibility of singing God-honoring music, and not some of the rock and roll, some of the 7-Eleven music, seven words repeated 11 times, or I call them some of them now 749, seven words repeated 49 times. Simply put, we believe that the Word of God needs to be, the hearts need to be prepared to hear the Word of God with God-honoring music that tenders the heart, prepares the heart to hear and to receive the Word of God. So if you're looking for a church where you can call a church home, where you can study the Word, learn the Word, love the Word, apply the Word, we'd love to have you. First Conservative Baptist Church, the Bible study, the Sunday school hours at 9:30 on Sunday morning. The worship service Sunday morning is 10:45. Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you. We've met you on the air, We'd love to meet you in person. So it's an open invitation for you to come and worship with us Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or even on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock for our Bible study. Sometimes we have Q&A, question and answer time, where we discuss issues just as we're discussing on this broadcast, and then a fellowship meal and singing. So we'd love to have you at any one of the services, First Conservative Baptist Church. Let me ask some questions by way of introduction and monologue to the subject today. Are all the scriptures valid? Is the Bible valid today in its totality? Just how should a Christian view the Bible? Perhaps you've asked that question. Perhaps you've heard some of the preachers of international renown today challenge the Word of God, question the Word of God, and you're wondering, what should I believe? Is it possible to simply decide what portions of the Word will you accept as a believer and then simply reject or jettison away portions of the Bible? How do you decide? Is it possible that man, that human beings can decide what part of the Bible is sacred, what part of the Bible is God-breathed, and what part of the Bible is simply man-made? The Pope has said, as you know, and I've said this a number of times on this broadcast, the Pope has made a declaration that the Bible is out of date, it's not in harmony with modern society, therefore it needs to be rewritten. Now, there are a lot of preachers that have not stated it that way, but in some of the things they preach and some of the things they teach, they literally believe that. We live, I believe, today, ladies and gentlemen, in a society where Satan has declared open frontal warfare on the Word of God, the people of God, the church of God, and I believe that it's time that we as Christians learn our Bible, study the Bible, know the Bible, and take a stand for biblical truth. The Bible tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that all Scripture is God-breathed. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16, and we're going to discuss this text a little later today in this broadcast, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It says all. And I want to ask some preachers, what does the word all mean? Is it a qualified all? Is it some way partial? That's not what the Scripture says. Yet we have high-profile pastor, preacher, teachers today standing in the pulpits across America telling us that Christians need to come unhitched from the Old Testament, telling us that the Ten Commandments no longer apply to Christianity today. In fact, here's an article that says, with one stating, participants in the new covenant, that is Christians, are not required to obey any part of the Ten Commandments found in the first part of the Bible, he wrote. Participants in the new covenant are expected to obey a single command that Jesus issued, and that's to love one another. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the simple question that begs to be asked, since when did God change? When did God's word change? Since when do we take a partial Bible or a portion of the Scripture and just jettison it away and say that we do not need to follow that anymore? When did God's Word devolve and become just basically a novel that you can pick and choose what you want to believe and emphasize? Pastor Andy Stanley seems to have simply lost his mind when it comes to theological, doctrinal, biblical concepts of the Scripture. Or he's simply a false teacher and knows it. I don't know which. I'm embarrassed for him. I'm ashamed of what is being done in the name of Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today on the microphones here in the studio, Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is professor of biblical theology at Conservative Theological University. We're delighted to have Dr. Phelps back with us today. Dr. Phelps, welcome.
Thank you, sir. So good to be here. And I appreciate what you have just spoken concerning the Scriptures. One of the things that I've learned and am certain about is Scriptures are not just the ramblings of men. Instead, they are the revelation of God.
Amen.
Truth is found in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. One of the things that I know about, and I'm sure, is that the Old and New Testaments are God's special revelation to mankind.
Yes.
And
I noticed you said Old and New Testament.
Yes, sir. And I'd like to say that inspiration was God's method of making known His Word.
Amen.
As stated in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so that means that all of the Bible is inspired, and all of the Bible is profitable to us.
Yes.
So the scriptures are profitable for doctrine. For the Bible is the textbook as we learn God's revealed truth. The scriptures are for reproof. For all of the scriptures convict us of the wrong in our lives. For correction. For the scriptures show us the way we should live. All of the Bible is profitable to us for instruction in righteousness, for the scriptures give us the knowledge of God's will in all things. The Old and New Testament scriptures are truth. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as far as we know, at that time, he was talking about the Old Testament scriptures.
The Old Testament. I'm glad you touched on that, Dr. Phelps. Let me ask you a question. I just listened to and watched a YouTube video this morning of Andy Stanley and his diatribe and his speaking. And he says that the Christian's faith ought not to be founded in the Bible, that the Bible is not relevant to Christian faith today. In fact, he goes on to say, the only thing that should be the relevant factor in the Christian faith is simply the resurrection. And in that diatribe, Dr. Phelps, Andy Stanley even went on to say that it was an impossibility to say that the Bible was the foundation with Jesus' disciples because they did not have a Bible, did not own a Bible. They were too ignorant to read it if they had it, that they were illiterate. Now, what kind of Bible did the Apostle Paul have? What kind of Bible did Jesus use? Was it the Old Testament, or were they too ignorant to read it?
They had the Old Testament, and it was read in every synagogue every Sabbath day. And we believe that the Old Testament scriptures are valuable in many ways.
Yes.
One of the ways is that it gives us a reliable account of the origin of all things. And in making this statement, we believe that it's important that we have a biblical worldview. That is, we realize that the Bible tells us how everything was made, the formation of everything. The Old Testament scriptures are the most reliable source of truth about the formation of the earth and everything. Starting in Genesis chapter 1 and going through verse chapter 11, we believe that is so important as a foundation for our faith. Faith is believing what God says in his word, especially about his son. But also, our faith must be founded upon the truth of the word of God. If we're going to discount the Old Testament's truth, then that means we just have half the truth.
Half the truth. In fact, let me ask a question, Dr. Phelps. If we remove just the first 11 chapters of Genesis, do we have any fundamental foundation for doctrine in the New Testament?
No. Those passages of Scripture, Genesis 1 through 11, tells us the beginning of everything. And what God had in mind in those verses, then he has in mind throughout the rest of the Bible. Mm-hmm. We read the scriptures, all of the scriptures, so that we might know the mind of God about everything.
Yes. Would it be possible, Dr. Phelps, for the average person today, the average believer, to know who God is without the Old Testament?
No, actually, the Old Testament contains the record of the names of God.
Yes.
And so Psalm 9:10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. In many of the Old Testament scriptures, we discover the truth about the person and nature of the only true God, especially by knowing his name. God introduced himself throughout the Old Testament scriptures. For example, God introduced himself to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, as Almighty God, who is the all-sufficient one. And we could say, if we were to study that part of the Bible, Genesis 17, and think as Abraham was taught there, that the Almighty God is our source of all things. He's the living God. He's the strength of our life. He's the strong one. He's the light of our walk. for God is light. He's the shield of our safety. He's the satisfier of our needs. He's the sufficient one in everything. He's the sanctifier of his people. Jesus said in the New Testament, Revelation 1:8, I am the Almighty God. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. And that means he identified himself with the Almighty God of the Old Testament. And there's a oneness there that we learn. The Almighty God reveals that he's able to be all we need. We have in him all we need to make our life fulfilling and complete. I wrote this little note, by the mentions of God's name, we learn of God's fame.
Yes. One of the things that you've touched on, Dr. Phelps, in relationship to going back to the Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we're interviewing today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a theology and Bible professor in Conservative Theological University. By the way, Dr. Phelps, while I touched on that, let me remind our listeners, if you feel called of God into ministry of any category, perhaps it's simply pastoring, preaching, teaching, Christian counseling, Christian education, or perhaps as a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, or just as a Christian that wants to study the Word of God more, let me invite you to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. 1-800-GO-BIBLE gets you straight through to the operator and the telephone where you can leave your contact information for us to get back with you and see if we can get you on board in Conservative Theological University. This semester, the spring semester, on Monday night, we're teaching the book of Hebrews. On Tuesday night, the study of who Christ is, called Christology. We'd love to have you. You can just audit a course. You can be enrolled for credit. Any credit you have from other colleges and universities are all transferable into the Conservative Theological University. Perhaps you've started at some point in time and dropped out and think that it's you've lost those credits. Credits and a institution that has any value, the credits never are lost. They're always transferable if it is to a school or university that has the recognition in relationship to the courses that you've taken in the past. Conservative Theological University, the programs are all theologically sound and doctrinally conservative and realistically practical, financially affordable. We'd love to have you on board. We would love to entertain the possibility of seeing what we can do to lock arms with you and walk with you to get your training in the Scripture, the Word of God, that you'll be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. So call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's Conservative Theological University. Leave your contact information for someone to get back with you, and let's see what we can do to get you on board in your studies of the Word of God. Dr. Phelps, I find it sad when we have renowned speakers, orators with skill, that claim to be pastors and preachers of the Word of God, that will defame, discredit, dilute, and attempt to come unhitched, as Andy Stanley's calling it, from the Old Testament. Further, if you would, Dr. Phelps, explain to our audience why that is so dangerous if we call it unhitching from the Old Testament. And then he further says that the Ten Commandments are not relevant for the Christian today, that the Christian ought not to be feel restrained to obey or to recognize any of the Ten Commandments. How would you address those two issues for our listeners today?
One of the first things I would like to say is that God has given us all of the Bible for our edification, for our benefit. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And that verse says a lot to us. We need all of the Scriptures. We need all of the Bible. And God has given us the whole Bible so that we can be fully informed, and so that our faith will not be lacking. Without the Old Testament, we would be lacking, we would be insufficient in our knowledge of God, of the only true God. In reference to the Ten Commandments, I don't think that God gave us the Ten Commandments to prevent us from having good things, but that he might try to protect us from the evil of bad things.
Yes.
And so we have the Ten Commandments as a guide to morality, a guide to being where God wants us to be in the faith, if you please, to be in obedience to God. As you know, Adam disobeyed. But through the Word of God, you and I can be transformed in our very person and our nature, and we can have a desire to please God. But
would it be possible, Dr. Phelps, for us to know anything about, from the New Testament standpoint, for Christians to know anything about why Jesus came, who Jesus is? What about the Old Testament and its prophecies of the coming of Jesus?
One of the things that I've learned is that God has given testimony of the Messiah of Christ throughout all of the Old Testament. And we need that heritage of the Scriptures so that we can fully be trusting in the Christ of the Bible. Many people then are discouraging us from reading the Old Testament, but that's where we find the testimonies of God in the Scriptures. Jesus said in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and there they which testify of me." The psalmist said in Psalm 119:111, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." What was he talking about? Well, see, the Old Testament Scriptures testify of Christ, and so we have that word testimonies. The Old and New Testaments of the Bible complement each other to give testimony concerning the promises of God that have fulfillment in the person and work of Christ.
Absolutely. What about the book of Daniel, for example, Dr. Phelps? Were it not for the book of Daniel, that's Old Testament, were it not for the book of Daniel, what would we know in relationship to the what you and I call the panorama of the future?
Yes, we have in the Scriptures a divine timeline, as I would like to say it. A man once said of the Scriptures that we have the book of the ages. He had something else in mind, but the thought I got from that was the Scriptures not only give the accurate presentation of historical events, but also give a panorama of future events. For example, Daniel chapter 2, we find that Daniel interpreted the king's dream that made known the future Gentile world powers in the order of their succession, beginning with the Babylonian Empire. So biblical prophecy was history pre-written.
Yes.
And gives us the knowledge of things to come. Now, or that is today, we look for the promised kingdom of God with Christ as the king. Daniel 2:44 reads, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." From that verse and others in the Old Testament, I understand that when Christ comes to be the king, he's going to set up the millennial kingdom, and it will replace all of the other authorities that are talked about in the Scriptures so that he will be king over all the earth.
Absolutely. And Dr. Phelps, one of the things that I think we can not necessarily summarize all that we're talking about, because it would take several broadcasts for us to really get to the depth of what needs to be said about the value of the Old Testament and the, how would you say, the mistake of trying to unhitch from the Old Testament or trying to say that we cannot place trust and faith in the Old Testament. What did Jesus say in relationship to, I know Andy Stanley says that it is just love one another is the only commandment that we have, and he rejects the Ten Commandments out of hand, just totally. But what does the Scripture say in about 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture? Explain that text to our listeners today.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I believe that that means that I as a person, I as a child of God, would find it profitable to read Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy and all of the Old Testament scriptures.
Yes, and when you look at the word all scripture, in theological circles, if we're in a hermeneutics class teaching the subject of study of the Word of God, the word all means what?
All of the scriptures.
All means all. It's not a qualified all. It's not a pick and choose. It's not a smorgasbord where you can pick this text and reject this text, pick that one, reject the other, pick this book and reject the other. All scripture is given. What does it mean, all scripture? Understand, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, that is all scripture is given by inspiration. Explain that to our listeners, the inspiration of the scripture and the value of that for the child of God.
First of all, let me say that I believe it tells us that we can believe the Bible is truth. And that's so important to faith today. Contrary to what some people say about the word faith is formed in me and you by the truth of the Word of God.
Yes.
And so that means that truth is a vital ingredient in the formula for faith. God forms in me and you faith by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Truth is found in the Word of God. So if we are lacking in our knowledge of the Word of God and do not study and dig into and search the Scriptures, we will be lacking in faith. So when Jesus talked about this, he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So that means the testimonies of God in Old Testament and in the New Testament, the testimonies that God has given in the Scriptures, build faith in me and you.
Absolutely. And with that being said, Dr. Phelps, when Jesus spoke himself in his brief 33 years on this earth, in his humanity, and Jesus, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, was 100% God and 100% man. Never any point in time you find in the Scripture where Jesus in his humanity was divorced or separate from or away from his divinity. He was always divinity, pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus has always been God. But Jesus, Dr. Phelps, quoted the Old Testament. He quoted from Isaiah. He quoted from the Psalms. He quoted from Deuteronomy. He quoted from Daniel. Jesus and the apostles, according to my research, quoted the Old Testament over 300 times. So you take away their quotes, their dependence, and their statement about the Old Testament. You look at that and you understand they trusted the Old Testament. They believed in the Old Testament. And all of the Old Testament saints, if you will, the Old Testament God-fearers, they believed the Bible, and yet that carried forward into the New Testament. But there's a verse that Andy Stanley shreds when he says that Jesus did not come to fulfill the law, that Jesus abrogated, bridged, changed, and only the love one another counts. Explain to our listeners in the last couple of minutes that we have where the Scripture is very, very clear in Matthew 5:17, where Jesus says, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets, but to fulfill it." Tell our listeners, what does that mean when it says he did not come to destroy the law?
Dr. Youngblood, I would need a whole session to answer that question. But I believe we can be sure that the promises and predictions of the Old Testament are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. That does not mean that they are to be thought of as not applying or not worthy of considering or reading or studying are searching today. I understand that there are over 300 predictions and promises concerning the Messiah that are found in the Old Testament, which are fulfilled in the New. That is so. That statement I make is this: that gives us assurance that you can believe what is said in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Absolutely.
Almost everything that Christ said or did had some connection with Old Testament prophecy. For example, as he began his ministry, Jesus was allowed to read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. After reading to the people in the synagogue, Jesus said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And that meant he was trying to tell them he is the one who is fulfilling the scriptures.
Absolutely.
That in person, the life of Christ was very unique. All was according to the divine pattern recorded in the Old Testament. That means we can believe God.
Believe God's word, Old and New Testament. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up this broadcast, let me remind you, Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to not to destroy, but to fulfill." That word destroy means to abrogate, to abridge, to nullify, or to change. Jesus says, "Don't you dare think that I've come to abrogate, to abridge, to nullify, or to change the Old Testament, but I'm the fulfillment of it." Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.